Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Part 2. Harris Reed. Say no more. It's an extravaganza. Here it is. You have been unashamedly yourself, and I don't even like using unashamedly. You have been yourself for a long time. And actually, what happens so often is people start to discover their identity later in life, right? Mm. There are voices that say that if you, you know, ask kids to sit down and talk about their feelings the whole time, you just create these snowflake kids and blah, 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 which is nonsense. It seems to be a dominant rhetoric. I'm actually not sure that everyone thinks that, but I think that right-wing press has a good way of spreading that stuff.
Mm.
And yet, what it did for you, for example, is it actually just made someone who felt really safe in themselves and was able to go on and do things that you would have potentially, we don't know, but, you know, stifled and would have come out in other ways. Mm. And what about the other kids who were there? Are you still in touch with any of them?
I am. And one of my good friends, she's now an actor. Her name's Gideon Adlon. She just touched on in London today. So I'm very excited to see her. It brought a very artistic group of kids, because if I talk to any of them now, you know, they're singer-songwriters, they're actors, they're painters. There's very few people that I know that went into finance. And I think the important point to point out here is a lot of them are being quite successful. I mean, everyone has their own definition of what success is, but in their field. And I think that's what's so important, especially in a country like the UK, which I love so much. But at the same time, we don't put enough attention or love or money into the arts. And I think the show said basically an art school that was about talking about your feelings and emotions. It gave way to a bunch of 20-something year olds that are very successful in the artistic fields and are living across the world. So we should do more of that.
We should do more because it creates self-belief, right? Mm. And that can be down to your sexuality and your identity, but can also just be down to, like, I'm a kid drawing polka dot pussy bows and every rapper I know is wearing hoodies. Mm-mm. And people are like, "What? How are you ever going to dress anyone?" Because I remember that was slightly a context of a conversation about someone saying to you, "Why are you doing that?" If everyone just copies each other, we're never going to have creativity, right? And it requires messianic self-belief, unfortunately, just to do something that you kind of weirdly believe in, but not, it's very hard to get other people on board.
Well, also, I think there's a safety thing as well. I think when I first moved to London, and I was just taking the tube and bus every single day. And I remember, like, there's not a day that went by that I wasn't hearing faggot or freak or what the fuck or people taking the piss. I used to live in Finsbury Park for quite a while. I remember one or two times, like, running through that little kind of tube path that feels like it's never ending and being like, holy shit, I'm going to get beaten up. And I think now I'm in a place where I still take public transit. I fucking love that about London. But, you know, I am in a cab a bit more often. I'm in a car a bit more often. And I feel so safe. I'm constantly aware that even today I was wearing head-to-toe cheetah with a giant purse and massive sunglasses and blown out hair, and I'm dripping in, like, all these vintage random jewelry. Like, and I feel very safe to present myself in this way, but I'm also aware that, like, I got to take a black cab here in the morning. But it's also a thing where I think there's safety comes into a massive part of it as well, where I think people sometimes are nervous and scared to even play with the idea of what their biggest dreams are. I'm not saying that what you look like means that that's your dream, but if, let's say, you want to be a singer, usually there's a persona that comes with that. Or you want to be a designer, there's a persona that comes with that. If you want to be an artist, there's a way of representing yourself that comes alongside usually that artistic passion that you have, where obviously you're just wearing a suit and wanting to go, and I have nothing against bankers or finance, but, like, you know, wearing a suit and following that norm, or wearing, you know, the tracksuit or this or that or the other and kind of doing the norm, is obviously just so much safer. And when you don't have the privileges of having the protection of a good friend group, or, like, literally a steel thing built around you, which is like a car, to feel like you're not going to get gay bashed. It's also a thing that I constantly kind of have in my DMs when I'm late night chatting with people about, you know, them coming out, you know, later in life or early in life, or not, you know, feeling safe or being like, I feel like I might be fluid or I might be trans, but I don't feel safe to put a skirt on in front of my parents. Mm. All these kinds of like safe space conversations, which for me has always been my thought process as I build a company. And like, how can I help in creating safe spaces? Like I create these garments that hopefully almost, you know, that's why there are a lot of cages. Even the thing I did for Harry Styles, American Vogue, that was a massive cage, cages and big hats. It's all of these things that you kind of like can set you inside of. It's like literally putting you into like this safe space where, you know, the boots are all, you know, 22 centimeters. So you're, you know, I always wear high shoes. I feel like I'm always about being present, but also being at a safe distance.
We were talking about Eddie Izzard and Julian Clary and how people are cool with Julian Clary because he's wearing a pink PVC sock, basically, and he's on TV, and that is theater, and it's not everyday life. But the risk of being a person putting that on and just going to the supermarket is very, very different. And that is undeniable, you know. And when Travis Alabanza came on this podcast, they were saying, I am aware that as I get older and if I were to have kids, I will recede away from my trans non-binariness because it's just going to be easier at the school gates. And I will fade into the background. And that is because it's about safety, right? I think it is really relevant. But then I also think about the idea that, so my dad was a fashion photographer, a very open-hearted, open-minded guy, completely. But when I told him I was having kids with my husband, he was like, what, like Elton John? And I was like, no, like people.
Like you're like husbands do.
Yeah, but there is something really useful about the mainstreaming of things that are totally normal, but they're considered to be on the margins. And I think if you've seen Harry Styles in a dress on the cover of Vogue, it does create little bits of language, right, to start discussions. And I know that people always go, but so-and-so was wearing a dress since .. We know, but culture is about the present moment and who's doing it now, right? And it's super useful. And you talk about this in the book, you know, about the history of queer language and all of that. But do you feel like you're contributing in a way as well that that is helpful to have someone like Harry expressing himself in that way?
I think any time, to your point, that people are having a conversation, I feel like I'm doing my job right. And I think lately, within anything, whether it's Lil Nas X with his chest out on the, I think it was like the MTV Music Awards we did with a massive crinoline skirt, or whether it was Harry Styles, or whether it's Troye Sivan, or, you know, whoever we're working in a way that we're pushing the gender binary, let's say, whether it's people having hate speech or whether it's praise, I think it's always amazing because I've always had that since a very young kid. And maybe it's something that I just had to tell myself, but I really believe it, that if I'm walking down the street and some bloke looks at me and, excuse me again, but says the word faggot to me, I know in my head, and I've always told myself, it doesn't matter because he's clearly opening a dialogue within himself because he's just seen something, had such a visceral reaction to it. We're all in our heads 24/7. He must lie in bed at night and be like, why did I have such a thing? But even so subconscious, I do think it starts a narrative and it does start a conversation. So to your point, and something I always try to talk about is like, I didn't invent fluidity. I'm not the beacon or the face or anything like this. Like there's, look at the long list of hundreds and hundreds of years of people, whether they were knowingly or unknowingly pushing for a more fluid future. But I'm someone now that has a following that is making quote unquote over the top pieces, working with people that are very prevalent in the mainstream. And I feel like then there's this conversation that gets to keep erupting, which I think is important around what men should quote unquote wear, what women should quote unquote wear, what is non-binary, what is fluid. So I feel like I'm hopefully contributing. I mean, if fucking hope so, that's the whole reason I built this company, like contributing in a positive way.
I'm pleased to report you are. But also, actually, in a way, something that's just occurred to me. So we first saw the world in a huge, huge context, first saw your clothes on you on Instagram. Yeah. You are a gender fluid person. Actually, you didn't ask for Harry Styles to wear them. You know, like that wasn't in your plan. Harry Styles put them on. You didn't put them in a shop under gender fluid. You know what I mean?
You know, I just did me. I literally made clothes. I mean, I think for that context for people, like I had, you know, I don't know, 1,500 Instagram followers or 2,000 Instagram followers. And I remember just literally being like, I am a queer non-binary person and I don't see anything in any shop from at the time Topshop to I mean, I couldn't afford Chanel, but Chanel, that was doing any kind of clothing that represented my gender or who I was. And that's when I just started making. And it became very Studio 54, 70s, you know, romantic, what I'm known for now, the pussy bow and the flares. But I was just making myself clothes because there was nothing out there that felt like it worked for me. And then from that point, people were just screenshotting those harmless Instagram pictures. And it's like, I want this for this client. The VIP was like, I want to look like that. I want that, you know. That's also why I feel like the business has grown in a space that I never, to your point, had like a massive sign that was like gender fluid clothing here. This is what this is. I was just like, I'm just being me. And I'm creating pieces that I love for myself. And then it's kind of grown its own, I hate the word fan base, but people that want to wear it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One of the things that's really gives me permanent joy about this podcast is that, you know, people come on and we talk about their individual identity and then people write in and go, thank God somebody said that because that's me. And I've never felt like I'm dot, dot, dot. Tell me how your identity has evolved and how you're feeling now. And you make a really lovely distinction between non-binary and gender fluidity that you feel is right for you. Just tell me more about that.
Gorgeous question. So I think for me, what I love about fluid is the fact that, I mean, again, it is fluid. It's ever changing, ever moving. I think, again, 3 years ago, I was always saying I'm non-binary. You know, I went by strictly they, them pronouns. I did not feel male or female. I felt that gender was fluid and that's where I stayed. As I went on my own journey, also thank God for therapy and got a really incredible therapist that I also worked hand in hand with. Because obviously, when you start a company, even accidentally based around your identity, it fucks with your head. Because I started believing that I was this 6 foot, let's say 7 foot tall with the platforms and red hair and makeup and slender physique. And that was who I was. And I quickly realized that isn't, like, that is actually not what fluidity is. Fluidity is changing. Like, I can still be fluid, but I can be wearing baggy jeans and fucked up trainers and a t-shirt and have my hair in a bun and look like stripped back. And that's still that. So I had a lot of therapy. I'm just giving that context of also as I was growing a brand that was rapidly growing and rapidly having a demand, I also had to figure out what fluid actually fucking meant to myself. And so I think kind of coming into now, you know, 2024, which is crazy, we're in 2024, fluid looks a lot different to me because I still identify as fluid, but my pronouns go by he, him, and they, them. Some of my friends even call me she, her. I, for me, think that my fluidity is the fact that I don't feel like I stick into any specific gender, and that is fluid and that is acceptable. And so for me, it's also something that was actually, I wasn't going to say this, but I even had a lot of a lot of really bad anxiety and a lot of therapy sessions when I was going to reintroduce the fact that I wanted to maybe go by he, him sometimes, because I felt that I became, in a way, accidentally a bit of a poster child for the fluid community, because every article was like, they, them, Harris Sweet. And like, you know, I was like, am I going to get a fucking ton of, sorry, I didn't realize I swear so much, but I'm guessing a passionate that I do, but I was like, am I going to get backlash? Are people going to call me out and be like, no, that's not actually fluid of you? And I kept trying to kind of separate a little bit non-binary and fluidity, because I think that they do go hand in hand, but I think that they are also their own entities. And that's how I've always looked at it for myself, because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to wake up one day and, you know, I've just gotten married 2 months ago and, you know, we're talking about children in the future. Like, I don't know, you know, I like how the word mommy sounds, and that's something that actually I might want my kids to say. And I've always even told my now husband from the beginning, like, I don't know if in the future that I might want to be a woman, I might want to be a man. It doesn't matter because it's fluid, and he's always been so on board with that. And this is why, you know, I don't understand why there's ever a bloody conversation around the fact that, oh, there's two genders, because that is absolute bullshit. We are all on this spectrum. I don't get how people can be so fixed. And also, why does anyone give a shit? Like, why does anyone care?
Totally.
And I get it, because obviously everyone has to put something in a box. Everyone has to put someone in a lane. They have to put someone in their place. That is how society is built. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you are better or less better, people have to be able to decipher those things, like putting you in a bracket. And gender is not something you put into a bracket.
But it comes with so much baggage. Like, that's the thing that I reject about. I just reject all the baggage it comes with. I love masculinity. I love femininity. I love all those things. But that guy who's shouting faggot at someone along the street is because that's not his fault. It's because he has been educated in this way of all this, you know, the stuff that comes with it that is really toxic. And so for that reason, I feel like I just reject it all. I don't know what that means, but I'm just like,
yeah.
Everyone is everyone, and it's an energy. But I always try and describe it to my friends as like, and I don't know if this is a very good description, but I always found gender confusing when I remember being behind me in a shop and someone going, oh, let the man pass. I was probably like 15. They're like, oh, let the man pass. And I was like, how do they know I'm a man? Like, I didn't understand. It just felt this weird nebulous thing that I think a lot of people don't have that. They just accept it. But if you find it strange, it kind of is everywhere and everything, and you feel it and you see it in everything you look at, right?
It takes time also to not see gender. It's not see gender, but not be affected by it. I mean, I even like classic examples, me and my husband, now that I live between Paris and London, do a lot of projects. Like, we set a date night aside every, let's say, Tuesday night is usually what we do. And we go out to dinner and they'll be like, they'll give me the menu first. And they're like, madame, or like, ma'am. And then they give him it second. It depends on the place. Like, I'm not trying to be called a woman, but it also doesn't bother me. But it's taken, you know, even imagine like me going on dates as a young queer person. Like, I had anxiety going to the date because I was like, I'm going to be going out with a guy, and I maybe didn't fully explain my outlook on, you know, my gender or anything. And then we'll sit at a restaurant and they'll say, ma'am, and then they'll kind of look at me and then they're like, oh, doesn't that bother you? Is that weird? And then it just starts this whole conversation where, like, it's taken a lot of therapy, good friends, writing a book to be in a place where I don't fucking care and it shouldn't matter. And I think this is also something that I have a lot of conversations with a lot of my trans friends and non-binary friends, and just even more, I kind of hate the word more, what does more feminine gay friends mean? But when they are quote unquote misgendered, you know, I have some friends that have very strong views that you immediately correct that person and almost call them out. I disagree more with this because sometimes for me, I'm like, yeah, but this poor person's working a 9-to-5. They're literally in hospitality. I used to work at All Saints on the shopping floor when I was 18. And I was like, I'm not going to embarrass this person and call them out. Like, you know, I've always had a thing that if I'm in a business meeting or if I'm working with someone in a long-term project, I find it a safe space to be able to speak about my gender or my pronouns. But in a restaurant does not become the place where I need to make someone feel bad. So, but it did take quite a while for me also to not let it affect me too much. And also not for the, which always happens later. And my voice, I know, is very high-pitched. But when I start talking, they'll be like, oh, shit, sorry, sir. And then I'm like, it's cool, it's chill. And then like once or twice, even the managers come over, like, oh, we're so sorry about that. And like, it's a thing where I'm like,
wow,
no, it's cool. And I guess I get to be in a privileged place to say it's cool because, again, good friends, good support system, good therapy. I know some people, being misgendered is a really horrible thing. And that I 100% understand and respect. But I also think it's about why I like fluidity. It's kind of finding your fluidity, your
version,
thresholds and limits and version. Yeah, exactly.
Your version. And people don't mean harm often, you know, and compassion and patience are really useful things in that space. But like you say as well, like being misgendered is completely different and not cool.
I think as queer people, we have a bit of a responsibility to also push the conversation forward in a positive way. I don't want to call someone out and make them feel bad because I want to have it be more of a calm, open dialogue. Even with this book, you know, I'm not a Locke, who's, you know, an incredibly talented writer and a good friend of mine. And they are so much, like, the way that they speak, I did a panel with them at BOF and I literally got off the stage and was like, I've never felt like I've sounded more stupid because they speak so eloquently and they have everything so clear. But what I realized my purpose in this space of fluidity and educating people is the fact that I'm a stepping stone, hopefully, into a deeper conversation. Like this book right here, I, you know, originally when I started it, it had the word fuck, bitch. I was much more like, this is my book for my gays and the days and, you know, and ha ha ha. And then when I talked to the publisher, they're like, yeah, but what's the actual goal with this? And I was like, well, I want to be in every hand of kids out there. And I want them to feel like they can have this as a stepping stone, the book that when I was 9, I maybe saw on my grandparents or my aunt or my conservative uncle's shelf. and grabbed off and had a little flick through and was like, oh, whoa, look at this person that, you know, I can see a bit of myself potentially in, whether it's what I'm doing with my career or my gender, and to kind of open up a deeper dive, because that's not, I'm not a writer. I'm a fashion designer and my medium is clothes, but I still am a queer activist in that space. And so I wanted to also find that kind of beautiful line of letting this book sit in the granddad's flat in the Midlands. And it's not like this shocking book that's like, you know, fluid now, let's fucking deep dive into this and kind of, not say alienate people, but sometimes be a bit too, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you catch more bees with honey than vinegar. And I don't mean that in an apology. We shouldn't, no one should be apologizing for anything.
No apologizing. No, never.
But it's grace and elegance and all those things that bring people in and, you know, help people understand, and compassion and all of those things are amazing. And Alok is amazing at that. I always love that thing they do when people write. I think they share it quite a lot on their Instagram, but like there's this person who like did this really aggressive troll on Alok's Instagram. I'm not even going to say the words, but you know, like it was really mean. And Alok just wrote this comment underneath saying, hey, friend, are you okay? And it's like a couple of paragraphs long. And it's like, I'm living my life and I'm really happy. I'm sensing you're not, because you're getting up in my face about what I'm doing. Is there everything okay? And it's not, I'm making that sound passive aggressive. And actually, it's not. It's just really compassionate.
No, it's so compassionate. And also the way that for me, like Alok is able to just... like the word is not react. Cause I'm not trying to tell, we're not telling people to not react, but just to go to a place of so much compassion and love and be like, I'm doing really good. Like, what's going on with you? Like, let's talk. Like, I think there, you know, as someone, I can speak to you and be like, yeah, of course, I'm very calm.
But you're also reminding me of David Hockney. You know, like I think about like my first entrance to queerness was David Hockney imagery. You know, it was incredible paintings. It was very mainstream, for want of a better description. It was just mainstream because people loved it. It has nothing to do with what he was doing. Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody video. Old movies my mum was watching on a Sunday with glamorous people, diamonds and things. But, you know, like, it is a gateway. It wasn't, I didn't need at that age to begin my own journey of discovery, but also perhaps acceptance of difference. I didn't need a raging tome about fuck the world. And I'm not to say they aren't necessary and aren't great. But even I think about the transgender issue, Sean Fay sitting behind me, Sean Fay's book, that is a very, very calm dissembly of why we are where we are. And I think the more we can remember that, I think the more change we can make, actually.
Being in 2024, the amount of incredible individuals before me that literally had to fight, and obviously, you know, Stonewall, be in the streets, actually make that change. I also find that constantly puts weight in a good way on my shoulders to have a calm, eloquent, and I'm using the word elegant in a good way here, elegant conversation with someone to educate them and not just be like, you know what, fuck you, and just be like, I'm going to kind of go retreat to a safe space, but actually be like, no, this is my space that I need to have a calm conversation and be able to kind of educate someone. I think my biggest thing is like ask questions and not be offended by the questions. Like if you're fluid, something like kind of a, more of like a filthy sex question and you're like, okay, that actually has nothing to do with, you know, but that takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of constraint.
But also, not that you should have to answer that question if you don't want to, but the reason people are asking you that question is because we do not equip people elsewhere. It's not mentioned in school. I mean, luckily it wasn't yours, but we rob people of the opportunity to understand the spectrum and therefore where do their questions go and all of that. It's all of those things, isn't it? Now, Harris, we have to finish. This has been such a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, what's next for you today and what's next for the future?
I am going to go to do a mic check at the V&A, which is where we're doing a fabulous launch of my book tonight. So shout out to the fabulous Victor and Albert Museum with the lovely Kenya Hunt. And then for the future, I think just keep listening to my gut. That becomes a key word in everything that I do, because it's just gut, whether I'm in Paris creative directing or doing bigger and bigger projects, working with bigger and bigger people, it becomes a matter of there's so many voices and just listen to the one that's right inside.
I just thoroughly enjoyed every last little moment of that. So thank you, Harris, for taking the time, working away in his atelier in the corner. Very inspiring. Let us know what you thought. Hello at homosapienspodcast.com, at homosapiens on Instagram. We're on TikTok, go follow us there. And go get yourself tickets to the live show. The link is in the bio. The link is on our Instagram bio. It's all to play for, darling. Next week, so from fashion to career change. I mean, this time of the year is such a time when we think about changing our careers and stuff. Well, next week we've got Henry Holland on the show. Henry was a hugely successful fashion designer, dressed all the stars, a la Harris Reed, and then had a complete change of career and now does pots, pottery, ceramics. It all happened during lockdown. And he's turned that into a huge success. And it's just a really, we have a really interesting chat about kind of following your heart. And also, Henry is a right giggle. He's such good fun. He's full of brilliant ideas, super smart. I love him. So that's next week. So, you know, put a bookmark. I don't know how you do these things. But, you know, come and listen. It's Thursdays. That's when the show comes out. That's all you need to know, really. Okay. Well, this has been nothing short of emotional, everybody. I'm sending you loads of love, and I hope you feel as uplifted as I do after that lovely chat with Harris. All right, bye for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.